Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Club America's past two victories at home against Pumas and Santos. And of course, we'll end off the show talking a little bit about the upcoming Clásico de México going up against Chivas in State Farm Stadium over in Phoenix, Arizona. So, lots to talk about, lots to break down. Obviously, the international break is upon us, and we did have a little mini hiatus. Unfortunately, no one was able to make it today to the recording, so it will be a solo podcast, but I'll try to be as informative as I can be. I'll try to be as good of a conversation as I can be, just being me by myself. But again, it's going to be one of those episodes. Unfortunately, just kind of our schedules didn't really align as well as we thought they would this week. But we didn't want to leave you guys without another week talking America. I think there's a lot to discuss here. There's a lot to break down. And I do think that there needs to be had a conversation, because I think this team is at a very good position in where you're looking at these past couple performances, right? And I'm not just talking about the game against Santos and the game against Pumas. I mean, you just kind of see, you know, the performance against San Luis. You scrap away with 3 points, but important 3 points. And then you look at the dominant performance that America had against Pumas. I know that game didn't really start the way that we wanted it to start. But ultimately, America was able to kind of pick themselves up by the bootstraps, as Dylan would say, and ultimately go out there and win the game comfortably. And then you look at the performance that they had against Santos as well. We'll go into a little bit more details about both of those games in just a second. But I think as things stand, America are in very, very good position, right? Second place, just 1 point behind Toluca. And at a stage where you really have a couple of easier matchups coming up. I say that very loosely, right? Because with America, you just never know what type of game we're going to get. But for the most part, you're looking at a calendar where you don't have much wiggle room, but you do have an opportunity to kind of, I guess, relax a little bit and get back into the groove of things after the international break. Maybe not so much necessarily right away, since you do have Cruz Azul, and that's definitely a six-pointer game. But again, to reiterate this, America are in a stage where you have to be mindful of your position, and you have to be mindful of the opponents that you have left. And right, the three opponents that I'm looking right now at the table, it's Puebla, Mazatlán, and León. Those are all consecutive back-to-back-to-back games after the Cruz Azul game. So it's not to say that we can draw points against Cruz Azul and we'll be fine, but I do think that there will be some leeway to kind of jumpstart if there is any hiccups from this international break, like we saw previous to the September international break, where America needed a little bit of a restart in that sense. But all right, let's talk America versus Pumas, right? That's the last place we kind of left off here on the podcast. Coming into this game, right, we knew that this was a Clásico, and I was speaking to Dylan about this game, and I said, you know, this is a matchup where you want to see a little bit more of an intensity, you want to see a little bit more of a drive, and you want to see an America side that's going to pull for the result and ultimately win, right? We didn't know it was going to be this comfortable of a win, but we knew that we needed to get a result here, and ultimately we did, right? And it didn't start off so well. Obviously, that Sebastián Cáceres mistakes brings a lot of flashbacks to a lot of mistakes that he's made throughout his Club America career. And I guess that's just Sebastián Cáceres at this point, right? If he hasn't been able to work on these mistakes, if he hasn't been able to fix these mistakes, then honestly, I think that's just going to be the nature of him. And that might hinder him to proceed and explore options out in Europe, right? But I don't know. We'll see what his situation is come summer. But unfortunately, right, he trips, makes that mistake. Pumas capitalize. We're down 1-0 to Pumas in this Clásico. And the response was exactly what you wanted America's response to be, right? They didn't put their heads down. They didn't kind of just kick themselves and be like, oh, here we go again. What's happening against Chivas is happening to us again now. But there was an actual response, and there was a drive, and there was a, you know, this hunger to want to go out there and perform. And kudos to America and the players. I think Jadinet got it very spot on. You know, obviously this game turns a little bit on its head once you introduce Fidalgo. But, I mean, just looking at the way that, I guess, ultimately everybody came out here and said, oh, you know what? Fidalgo was already on the pitch. But ultimately, the way that this team performed is exactly what you wanted out of this Clásico. And so I think you saw a Sendejas who had himself a worldie of a night, right? I mean, that chip to kind of put the game to bed even more so was just phenomenal, right? I mean, one of the best goals we've seen Alejandro Sendejas score, if not the best goal Alejandro Sendejas has ever scored for America. And he's really coming to light, you know, wearing his number 10 jersey. I know we spoke a good amount of him with that number at the beginning of the season because he seemed to be the only one carrying this team going forward. But throughout the last couple of weeks, he had disappeared a little bit. He faded. He kind of wasn't the number 10 that we wanted him to be. He wasn't the Sendejas we needed him to be. And, I mean, there's a lot of debate as to whether you chalk that up to just poor form or the fact that, you know, he was playing in a little bit more of a central role and he wasn't playing as wide at times. Whatever the case may be, it seems like he's found his formula because, I mean, he was, again, lights out against Santos, right? Probably the most creative player we had on the pitch and in the Santos game. So very good performance, very good job by Alejandro Sendejas. And then, of course, again, the man that everyone continues to want to see and the man that continues to light things up, Alexei Maximan. I thought he was great against Pumas. I mean, he was vital in order for this comeback to happen, right? He was trying to be the man, right? He was trying to take on players, and then he was slipping a lot, and he wasn't really adapting to the fact that the pitch was very wet. It was a very, very rainy night in Mexico City that day. So the pitch wasn't in his best conditions, and so I think Maxi struggled a little bit to adapt and then just to kind of take off. But, I mean, once he did, you saw that, you know, his confidence continued to grow. He looked like the most dangerous player that America had going forward. And things happened because of that. And so you saw an Alan St. Maximan who, you know, I guess forced the first goal, right? I guess it's a little bit of an unfortunate event for Pumas, right? Maxi takes, I don't even think it's a shot. I think it's just a wild cross. Blocks it. And then I don't think he does a great job blocking it because it just kind of ricochets, bounces off the Pumas defender, and then it finds its way into the back of the net. But hey, sometimes you need something like that. Sometimes you need these type of goals to just go in to kind of kickstart things. And America rightfully deserved the goal. It's not like, you know, it wasn't like it came against the run of play. It was definitely, oh, America deserved this. America was pushing forward for this. And so America got it. And once they got it, they just kept going. You know, the attack and the pushing and everything, it was very smart. I mean, I don't know how much you want to credit this performance to the fact that Efraín Juárez got himself sent off, right? The manager for Pumas getting the red card. I don't know how much that affects the team or if it does at all. I mean, he's not the one playing out there on the pitch, but he is kind of making the decisions on the sideline. But I mean, regardless, America capitalized and America do a very good job of making a comeback, making a statement, and kind of paying a little bit of the debt that they have to the fans and to themselves for the way that they performed against Chivas or the lack of performance against them. And so I guess it's a good way of rebuilding themselves back up. And it was a good, solid victory. It was a good, solid victory, good, solid 3 points. And it gets us kind of rolling and going into next week's matchup against Santos. But obviously, the biggest highlight of that, of course, was the Sendejas chip, was the Sendejas performance. And again, it's what you wanted to see. It's what we all wanted to see from America, especially in a Clásico. It was come in, do your job, be as prolific as you could be. And America, I mean, we got 4 goals on the night. Could have maybe had 1 or 2 more. But, I mean, I'm not really going to complain about that, right? It's a good performance. It's a good 3 points. It's a good goal tally. Let's kind of leave it at that. So, America versus Pumas, very good 3 points, very much needed 3 points. And again, it builds this kind of snowball effect from I would argue the Monterrey game, right? America kind of looked dead in the water. They find a way to make the comeback, 2-2 draw against a very tough opponent. And then you kind of spiral that into a midweek performance away on the road to San Luis. It wasn't the prettiest of games. It was a very frustrating game for America, but they get the 3 points, right? So the ball continues to roll. And now you get yourself a very, very good game against Pumas, right? And then again, it rolls off and it comes to the game against Santos Laguna, which is another performance in where I think, well, back-to-back games where America golea, right? So America 3, Santos 0. Let's talk about this game because I think a lot of us saw this game as a very good matchup, but also a game that gave us a lot of concerns and doubts and in regards to the squad, not necessarily to the team and the performance, but I mean, we got to talk about the elephant in the room with this matchup, right? Two injuries, three technically, because Cáceres gets injured right before the match starts. And so there's got to be a tweak up to the lineup. But I mean, it just seems that this team continues to be a hospital. I mean, the injuries have continued to plague America. I mean, not just this season, but I mean, for, I want to say the last time I felt like we had a very healthy squad with minimal injuries was probably the tournament where we became bicampeones. So what was that? The clausura of 2023. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. It's wild. And it was the clausura of 2024, excuse me. It's ridiculous how much injuries we've had this season, right? I mean, and you're talking about very serious injuries, right? Unfortunately, the Dagoberto one feels like that one is just kind of bad luck. But there's a couple of these other injuries that you're wondering, what's going on behind the scenes? What's going on with these physical trainers? What's going on with, you know, the people in charge of monitoring these players and monitoring these guys? I mean, it's just unfortunate the way that some of these players are just kind of dropping like flies. I mean, your heart kind of goes out for Zuniga, who just, I know he's not had the best of seasons, and I know he's had himself a very, very difficult period in adapting and making sure that kind of he, you know, makes himself be that starter that we all wanted him to be. But the reality is, I mean, he's hustling, right? He's still running. He's still wanting to do his best. And you have to applaud that even though he's not playing at his best, he's still willing and still wanting to go out there and put in a shift. And it's very unfortunate that he kind of gets injured because of that. He chases down a ball to make sure that it doesn't go out for a goal kick. And in doing so, right, he slides and kind of, I guess, gets his knee stuck or hits his knee a little bit too hard. And even the pitch kind of came up with him. And that kind of just did it for him, unfortunately. And so his injury looks to be a longer one, right? He'll be out for about 3 or 4 weeks. And so potentially a month without Zuniga, that's, you know, a little bit dicey, especially when we're looking very thin at the top. Right now, it's only Buffalo Aguirre. I know they mentioned Henry Martin could potentially be ready for the game against Cruz Azul. But again, the Henry Martin has not been in rhythm. He's been on and off, on and off, on and off. And I'm not talking about just playing. I'm talking in regards to just being match day ready. And so we'll see how things line up. I think we'll have a lot of good indications after Saturday's game against Chivas as to, all right, where our players at the moment. But again, it's frustrating that this continues to be an ongoing issue for America, right? I mean, we talked about Dagoberto's injury. We talked about Zuniga's. We talked about the fact that Cáceres picked up a little bit of a knock. Fidalgo's still out with an injury, right? He didn't play against the likes of Santos. And now you're looking at, unfortunately, St. Maximin out as well. You know, I know Jonathan dos Santos was also played with a little bit of an injury, or to mention Henry Martin, but that was the biggest kind of worry for a lot of Americanistas is when Maxi goes down, asks for his sub, and then you just kind of see him hopping along the pitch, and then he, you know, leaves the stadium. That, I think, was the biggest concern, right? Because you're thinking, our quote-unquote best player, right? There could be debates as to whether or not he is America's best player at the moment, but he is by far the most talented player on the squad. The most impactful player that America has at the moment goes down with injury. And you're starting to think, oh my goodness, how? Why? Why us? And I mean, fortunately enough, it sounds like Jardines said it was more of a knock than anything. And it's just more of a precaution situation that they didn't want to risk anything. And I think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that this was a matchup where you thought, oh my God, we need Santi or else we're not going to win this matchup. And so, not Santi, excuse me, Maxi. And I guess that the good thing is we'll hopefully have Alan St. Maximin ready for the Clásico Joven. I don't expect him to get any minutes or even travel with the squad to face Chivas at Arizona. But, I mean, ultimately, all of that, to encompass all of this, is that América was still able to walk away with a very good result against Santos Laguna. I get it. It's a Santos that has been very up and mostly very down. But they still came in and tried to put in a shift. I think América did well controlling the tempo. I think América did well in playing with the ball at their feet. The decision-making was a lot better in the final third. You know, basically, they took their chances. Buffalo Aguirre maybe could have had another goal to his tally. But ultimately, I think this was a game where América performed well. They stamped their authority on this matchup very quickly. Even though there was this big concern about all these injuries coming in and coming out, how was this going to disrupt kind of the rhythm and the game plan? It didn't seem like that was the case. It was very much seamless the way that Brian Rodriguez came in for St. Maximin, and then the way that Buffalo came in for Zuniga. So, yeah, I was impressed. I liked the way that América was able to perform against Sendejas. Was a very, very good player for us in this matchup. And I think if you don't have that Sendejas, this game maybe looks a little bit more difficult on the way that things ended up going. It's good to see Buffalo Aguirre scoring again. I know he was in the mix of a lot of criticism, and then rightfully so, right? I mean, we criticized him here on the podcast as well. He wasn't looking like the sharpest player on our side, and it looked like maybe this Raúl Zuniga transfer was maybe a little affecting him just a little bit, but he's come in and actually he's looked great, right? He's looked like he's hungry, and fortunately getting himself a couple of goals, and with a little bit more minutes, I think he'll be definitely the starter against Cruz Azul. Because why would you even risk putting in Henry Martin when you know he's not 100% match day fit, or he doesn't have that rhythm to give you at least, I want to say, 60 to 70 minutes at this point. Again, it was a good game. I think, obviously, the biggest goal of the night was the Alan Cervantes goal outside of the 18-yard box. I think that was phenomenal. It was a really good goal. I'd like the other goal that was scored, the Brian Rodriguez one. That one was really, really good. A nice link-up play. I think a player that maybe we haven't spoken about, but I think is very impactful to the way that América plays, is Chido Sanchez. I think that even with he is probably our second or third best midfielder at creating things, and he just gets the ball moving and he finds himself in pockets of spaces or in spaces of the pitch and where you wouldn't necessarily think he would be. And he's a player that likes to get forward a lot and knows how to be in that final third and execute. I think his decision making at times has been a little bit poor, but I think that's something he's working on. But ultimately, I mean, he's putting himself in these situations that kind of opens up space, because if you introduce this extra body into the chaos, I think defenders are thinking, do I go mark him? Do I leave space? What do I do? And it just opens up space. It opens up avenues for América to explore going forward. So I think a player that we definitely need to kind of maybe not necessarily praise, but give a little bit more of his flowers is Chiquito Sanchez. I think he's done a phenomenal job. And so that is that is kind of my two cents on this match. But I think it was a good game. It was a good performance. I think América gets a clean sheet, and I know that is huge, right? Not consecutive back-to-back clean sheets, but it is a clean sheet against San Luis on the road, and then it's a clean sheet to Santos Laguna a week and a half later at home. Again, América's defense showcasing that they are still considered to be one of the best defense in the league at the moment, so I guess kudos to that, and then let's just keep it going. Let's just keep it moving forward. I don't think the defense really had much of a struggle in this matchup, but I'll tell you one thing. They're going to have a much, much bigger matchup against Cruz Azul, and so I think this is just for a confidence boost, but still, at the end of the day, you're able to lock down an opponent, and you walk away with the 3 points. I think that's fundamental to what you want to do in your season. So that is América versus Pumas, and that is América versus Santos Laguna. 6 points in 2 weeks. It's exactly what you want to see. And like I mentioned, now América sits just 1 point behind the league leaders, which is Toluca, a matchup that I know a lot of us are anticipating and waiting, but we'll have to wait till the end of the regular season to see it, as América will go to the Estadio Nemesio Díaz on November 8th. That should be a fun and interesting matchup. All right. Well, with that said, let's talk a little bit about some club news. And honestly, I mean, I kind of broke down already kind of the injury situation. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like, you know, these injured players are going to make any sort of travel with the squad. I mean, I don't expect Saint-Maximin to travel to the United States with the team, even if it was a knock. I think Fidalgo and Joyner, they're still going to try to keep up on their wraps and you know, treat them like if they're out of glass. And I don't expect them to travel either. So Cáceres, I think, too, is another one that maybe potentially might also stay back in Mexico for the international break. But as far as international players go, I think only a majority of players ended up going to Mexico. That's it, right? You had Luis Ángel Malagón, Ramón Juárez, Israel Reyes, Chiquito Sánchez, and Kevin Álvarez. Those were the five players that are going over to play with the Mexican national team during this international break. And oddly enough, none of the South American players are actually going to their respective teams. Well, I mean, some of them are already qualified, so they're just kind of international friendlies that I don't think their manager saw point of kind of traveling them out and giving them so much mileage. So Brian Rodriguez, Buffalo Aguirre, Sebastian Cáceres, not called up at all. Davila Orr, Igor Lichnowsky all weren't also called up for Chile. Borja also wasn't called up for Colombia. So I don't think there's much of worry for these players to think that they're not going to make the World Cup roster, but it's more of, okay, we're going to give chances to other players and let's see how they do. And I think it's a good little break for them to not have to travel so many miles and exhort themselves to such different climates and such and stuff such like that. I do expect them to travel with the team to go and play against Chivas. I don't expect them to get that much minutes, but it will be nice that at least the fans will have somewhat of a starting team out there in Phoenix, Arizona for this matchup against Chivas. So yeah, it's looking like an interesting one. So we'll see. But that's just kind of the club news I have. I don't really have anything else regarding America and this international break. Obviously the club's anniversary is coming up, so that's going to be huge, but we'll probably talk more about all of that next week. But yeah, that's all I have regarding club news and club updates. So with that said, coming up next, we're going to be talking America versus Chivas at State Farm Stadium.
Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club America in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Aguilas in action. So head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode.
All right, let's talk America versus Chivas. El Clásico de México is coming to State Farm Stadium, and we are just hours away from kickoff. So Phoenix, Arizona is the destination for these two teams. Obviously, they play each other every year in the United States, and this time they've chosen Phoenix, Arizona, which is an interesting choice, and it's an interesting venue. And I'm curious to see what the dynamic is going to be and how many people. I don't expect a sellout, but I do expect a very close call to a sellout. I mean, this is going to be hopefully a very good and very entertaining matchup. I mean, what can you expect from this game? Honestly, not a lot, in the sense that it's a friendly, but I guess there is no such thing as friendlies when it comes to playing Chivas, right? And I know that there's not much weight on this matchup as far as the importance of what this result could mean to your season, but I do think that this is an opportunity for America to mend for some mistakes that they did against Chivas in the regular season. Now, it's not to say that if America wins this game that, you know, it'll be like for like and kind of they will fix the blunder that they made against them and they will be kind of call it even situation. I don't think by any means that's the case, because at the end of the day, they stole 3 points and you're just winning a friendly. But you need to win these games. You need to go out there and you need to kind of give your fan base something to hold on to. I know it's not going to be a lot, and I know that there won't be much talking points or a lot of bragging rights that will come from this, but you need to give your fan base something to hold on to. And even though whether Chivas will make it into the playoffs and maybe potentially see them or not, that's their own season, their own case, their own downfall that they're working on. You need to go out there and you need to perform. And the youngsters that do get this opportunity, which they will, need to take advantage of it. And they need to go out there and they need to perform. And they need to say, hey, I'm ready, coach. Put me in. Let me do my thing. Obviously, I expect this America side to feature a lot of youngsters because, I mean, the majority of the Mexican base is going to be out in where they're playing in Dallas, I think. And then they're playing in Mexico as well. So they're playing with the Mexican national team. So there's a lot of absences that will need to get covered. And if you, I guess, press me for a starting 11, I don't really know how it will feature. It just depends, I guess, who travels and who doesn't. I mean, this is me with the speculation that these all the foreigner players, besides the ones that were injured, are going to be going. I mean, I guess I'll try to give it a shot. Look, we'll put Cota in goal. That's kind of a given. These are his games. In the right back situation, that's going to be interesting because who do you play or what formation actually do you play? Do you end up... I think Jardine might go with a back three in this, and he might have Violante start as kind of the right wing back, and in the left wing back spot, you'll have Rafa Orquín. In the center back, you're going to have Miguel Vázquez, unfortunately, Néstor Araujo, and maybe Igor Lichnowsky if he's fit enough. I know he had a little bit of a knock, but I do think he'll want to play or want to feature in this matchup. So that's already three, your back three right there. In the center of the pitch, you're going to have Alan Cervantes, of course. No Jonah, no Fidalgo. So I don't know who your other midfield is going to be. He's probably going to be a youngster. And then Alexis Gutierrez will fit in that role as well. And then you'll have Brian Rodriguez, which I'm assuming he will travel and he will play a little bit of this matchup. And then... if not Buffalo Aguirre, I don't know if Henry, I don't think Henry will travel either. But if not Buffalo Aguirre, maybe Pato Salas up top with Brian. So it's gonna be a little makeshift. It's gonna look a little wonky. That's even if Jardine goes with my formation, which I don't think he will. I'm kind of not convinced by my own starting 11 prediction here. But regardless, I think this is gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a good atmosphere. It's gonna be a late one too. It's gonna be at 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 Central. At 11 p.m. Eastern. So it's going to be a late one for those of you who are going to stay up and watch it. And if you do, don't worry. TUDN has got you guys covered. So you guys can catch that game over on TUDN. It's going to be actually after the Mexico game. So you can watch Mexico. And then afterwards, still fuel your needs to see more soccer. And just watch America play. But yeah, look, I'm looking forward to this game. I'm looking forward to being there, actually. So I'll be there specifically covering this matchup for the podcast. I'm really excited to see. This is my first time at State Farm Stadium, so we'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited to see the fan base. I'm really excited to see how America turns up. And absolutely, the Americanismo always makes these games even that much more fun. I love traveling, and I love seeing how America travels as well. You know, the fan base is just incredible. They're phenomenal. And excuse me, my voice cracked right there. Kind of embarrassing, but as I was saying, really looking forward to, because at the end of the day, this is, I know a lot of you will say a money grabber type of game, but at the end of the day, it is an opportunity for the fans to see their team. It's an opportunity for the fans to get close to the team, and the team for them to kind of, you know, present and give something to the fans as well. And these games typically have at least one golazo in them. The last one I went to and covered was the one 2 years ago, I want to say. It was at the Rose Bowl. And Julian Quiñones scored that phenomenal golazo. And now I'm looking forward to this year's. And hopefully someone scores a golazo. So, yeah. America versus Chivas, State Farm Stadium. If you guys haven't gotten your tickets yet, head over to SeatGeek.com. Purchase them now. Trust me, you want to be at the stadium. You want to be there. Yeah. You want to be tailgating. You want to be in that atmosphere. And hopefully America delivers, right? The youngsters are going to be out there in full force. And it's not to say that it's a bad thing. I think there's a couple of youngsters that we want to see get a little bit more game time, get a little bit more minutes. I know I mentioned Pato Salas. The youngster Diego Reyes, I hope that he gets brought up and gets minutes as well. So this is a good pool that we can kind of see exactly who can kind of be that next step. Take that next step forward for America. And these games technically are exactly for that. So we'll see what happens. So again, super excited. Looking forward to this matchup. Again, I want to see an America side that's going to go out there, perform, and do a good job. I feel like they owe it to their fans. They owe it to the fans to go out there, perform, and give a good matchup against Chivas. And win, right? At the end of the day, I don't think these players want to go out there and be like, we're just going to play for 90 minutes. Doesn't matter what the result is. And especially when you see the opponent, you're thinking, this is an opportunity to get my leg back. And it's not like for like, and it's not going to be, it's not comparing apples to apples when it comes to what the result will be at the end. But again, you need to have something. You need to feel a little bit of that spark. And so this is an opportunity, because I think If you look at the international break last month when they went over to Washington and they played against DC United, we didn't have the best of games. We didn't have the best of showcasing, and America lost that game. And then it kind of trickled over to the Guadalajara game, right? To the Clásico. We didn't look our sharpest. We didn't look our best. We looked a little bit kind of lazy. And so I just feel like we need to have a better rhythm, right? Up the tempo a little bit. I'm not saying go out there and kill yourself for this matchup. It's a friendly. I know that at the end of the day, the stakes aren't as high as I'm trying to paint them to be. But still, I think you have to go out there, give some rhythm, give some intensity. And of course, that will roll over to next week's matchup, which is a very, very, very huge game against Cruz Azul, and where you could potentially kind of separate yourself even more from these kind of last third, fourth, fifth spots. So again, that's going to be next week's debate and topic for the podcast. And it should be an interesting conversation. So if you guys don't want to miss out on that, make sure you guys are following the podcast. You guys are also liking or subscribing the YouTube videos. That helps us out a lot. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think that's everything that I got. So if you guys are going to be at the game and you guys, for whatever reason, see me walking around, stop me, say hi. I'd love to talk to you guys. I'd love to get you guys on camera and share your guys' thoughts and opinions with everyone else on social media. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I'd love to take a couple of pictures of you guys, post them on our social media boards, and just kind of showcase what the Americanismo is going to be doing that day at State Farm Stadium. So with that said, I will see whoever's at the game on Saturday. And we'll be back next week to talk all things Club America and get you guys ready for the big game against Cruz Azul. With that said, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful night. You guys take care. And as always, Arriba America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.